The belief that God became man and dwells among us in Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Orthodox Christian life and worship. Orthodox worship, therefore, involves the whole person, heart, mind, body, and soul. In our services of worship, Christians pray and sing in liturgies that are not of this world. Ancient Faith Radio now presents Singing the Triumphal Hymn with Father John Finley, exploring the Orthodox faith through music and liturgy. Father John is a composer and musician and is with the Missions and Evangelism Department of the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Here's Father John.
We continue in our lesson on liturgical formulas and texts, turning now specifically, after having discussed the roles of the clergy in the church, to the liturgical text. And we find, in addition to the text taken directly from the Bible, that there are also two other types of text. There are prayers and hymns. And the prayers of the liturgy developed over centuries, and they are deeply rooted in the Bible. These prayers are filled with phrases and images taken from Scripture, which express more perfectly what we really want to say to God than our own spontaneous expressions. In his book, The Liturgy Explained, Thomas Howard explains why we use written prayers. He says, "It's sometimes feared that to read a prayer is to cramp the liberty of the Spirit. Yet we need only to remember the use we make of hymns and psalms in our worship to see that it is often by our using these second-hand or borrowed words that our own capacity to say what we'd really like to say is very greatly enriched. It's also helpful here to recall that Jesus and the apostles used precast forms of prayers. Spontaneity in worship is not the same thing as liberty. The former, that is spontaneity, very often drains off into banality or worse, since we, like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, hardly know what to say in the presence of the divine majesty." I like that. You know, I'm almost laughing thing, you know. So Peter, James, and John, "Well, shall we build three tabernacles to," you know, "no, don't do that." They fell down on their faces, and about all they could say was, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." The hymnody in the church is theologically the richest in the world. One can learn a great deal about the church's doctrine and life by carefully and prayerfully singing or contemplating the hymns of the church. In his essay, Sacred Music, Constantine Cavarnos explains the purpose of Orthodox sacred music in worship. "The aim," he says, "of this music is not to display the fine voices of the chanters, or to entertain the congregation, or to evoke aesthetic experience. Indeed, the chanters who sing it must have good voices, and the chanting must be well executed and pleasant to hear. However, the good voices and the good execution are not things it seeks for their own sake. And the pleasure it evokes is not an end it deliberately seeks, but something incidental, and further, is not mere aesthetic pleasure, but something much richer and higher. The aim of Byzantine music is spiritual. This music is, in the first place, a means of worship and veneration, and in the second place, a means of self-perfection, of eliciting and cultivating man's higher thoughts and feelings and of opposing and eliminating his lower and undesirable ones. The use of this music as a means of worship consists in employing it to glorify God, to express feelings of supplication, hope, gratitude, and love to Him. Its use as a means of veneration consists in employing it to honor the Holy Virgin and the rest of the saints. Its use as a means of cultivating higher thoughts and feelings and opposing the lower ones is inseparable from these. There's not one kind of music employed as a means of worshiping God and honoring the saints and another kind employed for transforming our inner life. But the same music, while having as its direct aim the former, that is, worshiping God, incidentally leads also to the fulfillment of the latter, transforming our inner life. For while glorifying God and honoring the saints by means of psalms and hymns, or while listening to others chant while we do so in our hearts, feelings such as sadness, hatred, anger, and torpor subside. And feelings such as contrition, love, peace, spiritual joy, and aspiration are aroused. In his book, Russian Church Singing, Johann von Gardner points out the inseparability of worship and singing. And we should thank Vladimir Morrison for his translation of this book by von Gardner into English. Quote, "The Russians of past centuries referred to worship as singing. To go to sing meant the same as to go to worship. It's the time for singing. It's the hour for prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy upon us." It's important for everyone to participate in singing in worship. The most fundamental level of participation is in the dialogues, the responses, and the acclamations. I'd like to interject something here too. I can remember as we were on our journey from evangelical Protestantism towards embracing the Orthodox faith in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church and studying these various things that we've been discussing in these past two podcasts. We talked about the orders of the church, and we said there are four orders in the church: the order of the bishop, the order of the priest, the order of the deacon, and the order of the people. And it's very important, you know, liturgy. I think we've said this before. We parse that word, it means the work of the people. And so the people are ordained. Father Alexander, when he discusses the sacrament of holy chrismation, which follows baptism, describes this as a personal Pentecost and as an ordination of a man to the royal priesthood. And so we are all ordained to this royal ministry and to this participation in the high priesthood of Christ. And so this calls upon all of us to participate in the services in as much as they are able. And when the deacon says, "Let us pray to the Lord," he's talking to the people. He's not simply talking to the chanters or to the choir, but to everyone, to the whole body of Christ. "Let us pray to the Lord," and we all respond. The body of Christ, the royal priesthood, responds, "Lord, have mercy." And so words and phrases such as "Amen," "Lord, have mercy," "To thee, O Lord, and with thy spirit, we lift them up unto the Lord," "Alleluia," "Holy, holy, holy," they should all be set musically in such a way as to encourage the people of God, the royal priesthood, to sing. Furthermore, the fixed psalms and hymns, like the psalm refrains and the hymns, which are a fixed part of the liturgy and sung every Sunday, should also be set musically so as to encourage congregational participation. Granted, it's more difficult for the people to join in singing the variable things of a given saint or day or feast, the variable psalms and hymns. But the spirit of Christian worship is always corporate, and every effort should be made to include and encourage congregational singing whenever possible.
And that was Father John Findlay with Singing the Triumphal Hymn, Exploring the Orthodox Faith Through Music and Liturgy. If you would like to write Father John, his email is singing@ancientfaith.com. That's singing@ancientfaith.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.